Righto, before we get into it today, I'd just like to thank the blokes and ladies that keep the lights on here, our sponsors.
Better Beer, Jogging a Can, Winning a Tin, The Athlete's Choice. Look, no matter what sort of beer you drink, they've got you covered. Go check out their whole range.
Country Trucker Caps for keeping our domes out of the sun with all their deadly designs.
TikTok Nutrition for keeping our bodies filled with the good stuff.
SP Tools for giving us the best tools for all our projects at home and on the work site.
And the True Blue Aussie Book. Bluebet. Call them what you want, knee knockers, golden nuggets, thigh slappers, but our friends at Manscaped refer to them as the boys. Not every man has children, but every man is responsible for their two boys below the waist. When your little guys have more hair than they need, trust Manscaped for all your grooming dreams. Boys need love too, so join the 10 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by going to manscaped.com and using the code ALPHABLOKES for 20% off plus free shipping. You heard it here first, the boys are back in town.
Every man knows how scary it can get when you're going for the close shave below the waist. That's why I trust Manscaped for all my sensitive areas. Introducing the Lawnmower family, including the Lawnmower Pro 3.0 Plus and the 4.0 Pro and the 5.0 Ultra.
Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code ALPHABLOKES at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code ALPHABLOKES at manscaped.com. For the best your boys have ever looked, trust Manscaped.
I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, I'd like to take this chance to apologize to absolutely nobody. The double champ does what the f*** he wants.
Welcome back to another episode of the Alpha Blokes podcast.
Here to give the everyday battler a voice and delete head noise one laugh at a time. If you're going to crack a beer, make it a better beer, jogging a can, winning a tin, the athlete's choice. Today, we got another boxer on, Vegas Larfield. How are you, legend?
No, I'm good, mate. We had a good trip up here with the boys and, yeah, just happy to be here.
Yeah, fucking nice, mate.
Bruce.
As Benny found out, mate, it's pretty hot in here at the moment, so... Thanks for sticking through it with us. The old aircon has shit itself.
Anytime.
Yeah, no worries. Mate, you're another fighter out of the All-Star Boxing Academy. Like we spoke about before, seems like a really good place to be, man. How long have you been there for and how do you find it there?
Yeah, I've been there from the start, mate, like since I was 13 years old. And,
yep.
You know, it's just great to have like all the boys there, like Liam and Benny, like training alongside them boys is, it's obviously always good and, even the amateur team, man, it's just, they're crazy, crazy talented. So,
yep.
You know, being around a gym like that is, yeah, it's very special.
Yeah. So, you're all pretty close. Like the pro boys in the gym there, like all sort of work with each other and help each other out.
Yeah, 100%. Liam, he came to the gym when I was 13.
Yep.
And, you know, I've been around Benny like heaps. We've traveled together. So, yeah, we're all very close there. And, you know, even the younger boys in the amateur team, like I'm real close to them boys too.
Yeah. Yep. Do you, even though you boys might be different weight classes and that, do you do a fair bit of sparring together or do you try and make sure you're like same weight sparring stuff?
No, we mix it in a little bit. Like me and Benny, we always work together and yep. Obviously me and Wilson do as well. We're a bit closer to weight. So, but
yeah,
yeah, we kind of work with each other, you know, like it doesn't matter too much.
How's that go? Like he's a good mates, but if he's getting in there and someone's had a shit day,
yeah.
Is there a few fucking shots that slip through?
Oh, mate, 100%. Like, yeah, definitely. It gets heated sometimes and, you know, it's never personal and no one ever takes it that way. You know, what happens in the ring stays in the ring, but yeah. Yeah, there's definitely been some big blues there, 100%.
Is there normally someone in there splitting it up or are you just both in there and there's sort of no one going, righto, lads, fucking yeah. Woo.
If it gets a bit hectic, you know, someone will jump in. Like I remember one time me and Wilson got into it and Benny tried to like jump over the ropes and he kind of fell and like just body slammed bad.
Oh.
But then the boys got in there and broke it up. And, you know, afterwards it's like it never happened because at the end of the day, it's just brothers fighting, so, you know.
For sure.
Yeah.
And how has it sort of changed, mate, you reckon, there from when you were 13 up until now sort of thing?
Well, it's pretty crazy, to be honest, because when we start, like when I went to the gym, we used to spar on tennis courts.
Yeah,
like,
right.
And we used to hang the bags up every night and then take them back down every night. And, you know, that was the gym. And we were called, we're under a different name called Kibingai. And, you know, there wasn't many of us. So
yeah.
To see where we are now to what we come from, like no ring, sparring on tennis courts. Like,
yeah.
You know, it's pretty crazy. And, you know, Benny's done a really good job.
Yeah, for sure, man. Like I said with Benny, like going there that time on the weekend and sussing it out and just seeing how nice and friendly and welcoming everyone was in such a small space that you all work in, but make it such a good environment, man. It was pretty cool to see.
Yeah, 100%. We're all a family there, and you know, anyone who does come into the gym with a, you know, bit of an ego, they usually leave pretty quickly anyway. So, you know, it's all very friendly down there, and everyone gets along. And you know, if you don't, then you're probably not there for long, you know.
Yeah. Do you get many of those lads sort of steam in and just want to spar or something, or with the ego? Like, you get a fair few of those lads, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I'm sure they do. I don't see them too much anymore because obviously us pros train at a different time, but you know, you're bound to get a few of those guys that come in, and you know, either they get humbled and stay and end up loving the gym, or they probably just end up leaving. But I don't see too much of it, so I can't comment on it too much. But I'm sure they're getting around for sure.
Because I suppose those lads, though, it's probably a good thing for them to come like that, get a bit humbled, and then have the opportunity to change themselves and actually focus that bit of shit in them for the right reasons, eh?
Yeah, 100%. Like, when I started boxing, like, you know, I was 13 and I was always in fights. Like, before I started boxing, I was just, you know, I was a fighter. And I thought I could fight pretty good, but on my first, like, day sparring, I was getting fucking waxed. Beaten up by a girl, like, and everything, bro. Like, it's just different, you know, like, when you go there, it just humbles you. And not to say that I needed it, but, you know, it was good to get it. And, you know, I just strived from there.
Yeah. Growing up for you, mate, was it always boxing? Or like, were you pretty sporty, or what was it like growing up?
I've always been pretty sporty, but I played footy.
Yep.
But I always took an interest in boxing. I thought when I was a kid, I genuinely thought I was going to play like in the NRL and make Origin and also be a world champion boxer, like at the same time.
Yeah.
Because like my stepdad, he was a professional boxer, so I grew up around it and like, you know, seeing what he would do in that, and I just always been in love with it. But yeah, it was footy before boxing.
Yeah, righto. What position, bro?
Fullback.
Right. Fullback. So a bit of speed sort of thing.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, nice, bro. Any like, where were you growing up? Brisbane still?
Or no, I grew up on the Gold Coast.
Oh, yeah.
So it wasn't until I was 11, I moved from the Gold Coast to Brisbane to live with my dad.
Yep.
I'm my dad's only son. I'm one of six, but four younger siblings to my stepdad, and then my older brother has a different dad to me as well.
So
I moved with my dad when I was 11.
So a bit of blue and growing up, man, like at school and stuff like that, a bit of trouble here and there, and then sort of found boxing. Did that sort of stop the blue and outsider boxing, or were you sort of like, here we go, now I know a few more moves?
Like, it definitely did a little bit. Like, I was always in trouble for fighting. You know, if it wasn't on the footy field, it was at school. Like, I was just an angry kid. And boxing definitely, like, it definitely helped that. There was obviously still some blues, you know, outside, but it definitely helped. Like, I didn't feel like I had to fight anymore, you know. Like, I could just... Yeah, I was just confident in myself that I didn't really need to fight.
Yeah. So when you first found it, bro, started sort of training in that, is there a moment that you remember as a kid when you're like, fuck yeah, this is definitely what I want to do in boxing, and then getting into your amateur stuff, or how it sort of come about that you decided this is what I want to do?
Yeah, so I was always in love with the sport. Like, I always knew that I was going to end up boxing. I just, you know, I didn't know when it was going to happen, but... sort of in the off season of under 13s, I went to the gym and I started training. We had the trials to get into the fighters class, and I got in, and then I was just training in the class for a bit. And I was always like a really hard worker, like always the hardest trainer in the room.
Yeah.
And Benny just sort of said to me one day, he's like, "Oh, you're not playing footy next year, eh?" And I decided in that moment, I was like, "Nah, I'll stick to boxing."
Yeah.
When he asked you that question, you sort of answered with that.
Yeah, I decided then. As soon as he asked me, I was just like, nah, I'm not playing footy. Like, this is me.
You reckon there was a thing in your head where you were like, you were still doing both, but you sort of knew that you would have had to pick something?
Yeah, 100%. I was getting, like, nervous about it because I'd played footy, like, my whole life.
Yeah.
So I was like, fuck, am I really going to give it up? Like,
yeah.
But as soon as he asked me, then I was like, yeah, boxing's it, definitely. Yeah,
for sure. Were you fighting at that stage in the amateurs?
No, so I actually hadn't had a fight yet. I trained for about a month in the fighters class before I had my first fight, which is very quickly. Like, that's a very quick turnaround.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they felt that I was ready, and they put me in for my first fight and dusted old mate in 30 seconds. And,
yeah, yeah, nice.
And then we just went from there.
Yeah, sweet. How was your amateur career, man? Like, how many fights did you sort of do, and how'd you find the whole thing?
Yeah, I had about 70 amateur fights. I really would, like, I was one of the top amateurs, definitely, but it wasn't until I turned professional that, like, it really clicked for me, you know, like the sport and me sort of getting it, you know. I was competitive in the amateurs, but I lost a lot of fights. I probably had like 20 losses. Like,
yeah.
But, yeah, I was definitely one of the top guys, but not the best, you know. And then when I transitioned to the pros, like, you kind of just watch everyone else drop off. But
yeah.
I always just kept at it, and I knew this is where I was going to get to, you know.
It's pretty cool to starting to learn a bit more about the sport. And, like, if you didn't really know or hear about it, it's just like amateurs, you're just doing it on the side, and then pros, it's you're doing it as a job. But the sport pretty much is two separate things, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's like the way you fight and the fucking everything.
Yeah, it's completely different. Like, I remember I'd get out of like an amateur fight, and they're like, "I've lost the fight," and I'm like, "I don't even know if I got hit."
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, that's it. How am I losing that?
And yeah,
it would dent my ego because I was like, I'm a fighter. I'm like, how can another man beat me in a fight? You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, as soon as you turn over into the pros, like, you just realize how different it is. Like,
yeah.
It's easy to say it, like, oh, just wait till I turn pro. But, you know, when I really did turn pro, things changed.
Yeah. And is it something you can just decide to do, just go pro? Or is it something that you have to have a certain amount of amateur fights, and then you have to have your coach go, I think you're suited to be pro?
Yeah.
Like, well, what's the process?
Honestly, you can just turn pro. Like, if the people around you, like, are saying, you know, we'll turn you pro, they might be getting you slaughtered, or
might be,
you know,
a shit pro.
Or you come from an actual boxing gym, and, you know, the people know. So, like, you don't really need a certain amount of amateurs. You can just turn pro.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not always the best idea.
And there'd be certain blokes that stay in the amateurs, wouldn't there? Because there'd be lads that their style suits the amateurs and stuff like that, so they'll stay there.
100%. Like, there's definitely some people that are very much suited to the amateurs, and, you know, they'll make money by winning medals, like, for their country, and, you know, they'll do it that way. And, you know, fully respect to them, but, you know, it just wasn't for me.
Yeah, yeah. Because isn't the Olympics is amateurs, isn't it?
Yeah, Olympics is amateurs, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people don't understand that, but, yeah, it is.
Yeah. And if you do a certain amount of pro fights, you can't then fight at the Olympics? Or how's that fucking
situation? I think the rules changed a lot, but
it's confusing boxing sometimes, isn't it?
I think what it is now, I think, is if you have more than 15 pro fights, you can't go back.
Yeah. No, sweet, man. What's your next thing, like, looking forward, you reckon? Like, No Limit, the last card you fought on.
Yeah.
Are you going to be fighting under No Limit moving forward and stuff like that?
Yeah, yeah. So I'll be fighting with No Limit, yeah, definitely. It's a great platform, and, you know, I'm super grateful to be, you know, with them guys. In regards to what's next, I think maybe I'm having a baby on April 1st. So
congratulations, bro.
Thank you. So, yeah, we've kind of blocked out the first half of this year. I've still been in the gym, but I think we're looking at June to get on. So we'll see. Like, we'll get an opponent and all that locked in closer to the date. But, for now, I'm just keeping busy in the gym. Like, I'm in the gym every day still year round.
Yeah. No, that's a go, man. Your last fight against Albert Nolan. So that was a great fight to watch. Mm. Old Albert, mate, that country bloke's got a fucking head as tough as woodpecker lips. But, mate, that fight, I remember watching it. I definitely thought you won. I think a lot of people did. But credit to you, man, for how you handled yourself after that. Because I was blowing up in me fucking lounge room half cut. And you proper stayed professional, mate, copped it on the chin and moved forward. And I think that shows a lot of professionalism, eh? Because you would have been thinking inside, get fucked.
Yeah,
100%. Like, how was that roller coaster of emotions? I suppose copping your first loss too as a pro?
Yeah.
Like, how was all that, bro?
Yeah, look, like, it was my first loss as a pro, but it's not my first loss in boxing. I've lost many times, and I've lost many times in life.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just knew that I just had to overcome it. And when they were talking to me in the ring, I was like, you know, I was thinking to myself, like, I knew I won the fight. I know that I should have won the fight. But I'm not going to make, you know, an idiot of myself. I'm just going to cop it on the chin.
Yeah.
Like, that's just what you do, you know. I'm not going to make excuses and whatnot. But, yeah, sort of the way I handled it was I had a week off, and then I got back in the gym, and I was like, yeah, I think I won the fight. And everybody else thinks I won the fight.
Mm.
But what could I have done to make it more clear? Like, why were they able to, you know, go the other way?
Like, I don't know if they were confused because, like, It was impressive seeing him fucking not get knocked out. Like, that, I was like, fucking hell, bud. He's got a chin and a half. But, I mean, I wonder if that sort of swayed him, as in, like, that was tough as fuck, or I don't know.
You know, definitely, potentially. At one point, the ref, like, he was like, knocked out on the rope. Yeah, the ref come in and, like, half waved his arm. And I was like, oh, stopped. But then we just went back to the corner.
Yeah.
And, you know, the ref waved it off, but then walked him back to his corner with his arms around him.
Yeah,
full on, like, arms around him, helped him back to his corner.
Yeah.
And I'm watching it back, like, fuck, that's not all right, eh?
That
and then
been...
the next round was only 2 minutes.
Yeah. That's so, right. They called it. Yeah. That was weird.
So it was wild. And I, you know, I thought I was a bit hard done by, but, you know.
Was it a tough fight to be a part of, though? Like, as in, were you thinking during it, fucking hell, this butt won't drop?
Man, it was crazy because after the first round, like, I come out and I had a dominant first round and I busted his nose in the first round. And I got up, like, got about to go out to the second, and he was still sitting on his stool. And I looked at him and he was broken.
Yeah.
I was like, he's done. I was like, this round, he's getting stopped.
Yeah.
100%. I was 100% sure of it. He looked like that every round.
Yeah, and just every kept
round. Every round he looked more and more defeated. And I'm like, yo, this is the round. And I kind of, you know, that's my learning lesson. You know, I kind of gasped because I was like, I'm about to stop him.
Yeah.
I'm about to stop him. But then he could just hang in there.
It's like when you need to go for a shit and it's right there, but the door's locked.
Yeah, that's right. 100%. So I was like, man, I don't know how this guy keeps standing up. Like,
yeah.
You know, and
have you faced many of those sort of lads throughout your career a fair bit? Like, you reckon that's a pretty good learning point for you, that fight, to go, righto, sort of hold the energy a bit.
Yeah, because up until that point, anyone that I had hit, like, cleanly like that, like, they went to sleep, you know, or the fight got stopped.
Mm.
So, yeah, it was definitely a learning curve that some people, you just won't be able to get out of there.
Yeah.
And, you know, you got to pace yourself. Like, I had 8 rounds. I didn't need to do it in round 2, 3, 4.
Yeah.
You know, I would have got him late if I just stuck to my boxing, but, you know, I got sucked into a war and... I'm happy there.
It's fucking good to watch, though,
bro.
Yeah, 100%. Got to give that to you. So that was. Didn't it get nominated for Fight of the Year or something?
It did, yeah. It got like 3 nominees. Like, I think we ended up getting Round of the Year.
Yeah, that's sick.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
And he was upset. He was nominated for Upset of the Year.
Yeah.
Fucking glad he didn't get it.
Oh, man. Wouldn't that have rubbed it in?
Yeah, it's a bit of a shit award to, like, be on the receiving end of.
Yeah. Anyway, it's fucking cool, bro. At least you. Yeah, for sure. Like any other lads from the country that you fought like that? Because, like, I don't know if it, where was he from? He was from like a
from
fucking
like
pretty...
Gunnedah.
Yeah, Gunnedah.
Gunnedah, New South Wales.
I think you know you got a bit on when you're fighting a bloke from Gunnedah.
Yeah.
Like, he's been in a few fucking headbutts through
the years. If I didn't fuck this TV, I'd tell you to bring him up so I can have a look at him because I can see the fight.
Yeah.
You have to. Albert too.
Yeah.
Albert.
Albert from Gunnedah has got a fucking tough head. That's the third
100%.
One that goes with Albert from Gunnedah. Yeah.
Fucking hope.
Yeah. But no, so you'd be looking to redeem yourself, brother, obviously. Next fight, like, work hard, put that behind you, get a fucking another win on the column.
Yeah, definitely. Like, of course, I would want the rematch with Albert, but I think that we have asked his team for it and they weren't real keen on it, which, you know, fair enough. They should probably take that one and run. But I'll just be looking to show, like, how I face adversity because I've faced adversity my whole life. You know, this is nothing new to me. And, you know, in fact, this is where I strive, I believe.
Yeah.
Like, this is where I'll show my true colours.
Yeah, for sure, bro. And I think, like, the old Mayweather effect in boxing, like, he with that zero, it's like it's this thing where it's like you need to keep that at least now moving forward for you. Although it would have sucked and that sort of thing, at least it's like now you don't have to worry about that. You can just go out there and fucking rip in, eh?
Yeah, 100%. It definitely takes that stress away from it and, you know, I just don't have that weighing on me anymore. And it definitely sucked to lose, but, you know, at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter. It just matters how I come back from it.
Yeah, for sure. How did it go, like, that fight that you fought on, there wasn't, like, a big crowd there, eh?
Like, no, it's like a studio show, so I think there must have been, like, 300 people in the crowd.
So it's pretty much purely for people to watch at home, isn't it? And then they have, like, a small crowd sort of thing.
Yeah, very small crowd, and, like, you know, it's mostly just for people to watch at home.
How do you find that, bro? Like, as in, do you draw energy from the crowd going off, or would you rather fight in that situation? Like, it'd be a bit of a weird one.
Yeah, look... I don't know if it really matters too much for me. Like, it probably would come into play, you know, if it's a huge crowd and they're all booing you, like, that'd be pretty hectic. But I think, like, there wouldn't have been many people there, but half of them were screaming for Albert. So I don't know if it really made too much of a difference. Maybe on the judges.
Yeah,
every
time
he would fucking blink, the whole crowd was, you know, going ballistic. But, you know, when I would do something, like, nothing would really happen, you know, because it was in Sydney. I'm not from Sydney, so.
Yeah, but
I don't think it would come into effect too much with me. Like, it is what it is.
Because, mate, was it your second pro fight in America?
Yeah, second pro fight was at the MGM.
Fucking hell, the fuck did that come about, bro? Because that's a massive thing to do.
Yeah, literally. So I was sparring with the Maloney boys, just helping them out. And they sort of, it's the conversation sort of started. They were like, oh, it would be good if you could come to America with us, because it was during COVID.
Yeah.
So obviously they don't want to branch out and get too many sparring partners and risk getting COVID. So if they could bring, you know, a couple people over that didn't have COVID and just stay with them, then that was obviously helpful.
Yeah.
And obviously I was giving them good work, so they wanted to come over. And so we got into conversations about it, and yeah, we kind of made it happen. I was just going over there as a sparring partner, and they were like, if we can get you on a card, great.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, sweet. So I went over there just ready to put in the work and help them boys out. But then I ended up getting a fight with a Mexican.
Yeah.
He was 27, undefeated. It was my second pro fight, like 18. It's pretty daunting, but, you know, I think I tackled it with both hands.
What was that like, the nerves for you, like going into that one, walking out? Because who was the main fight on that card?
Terrence Crawford versus Kell Brook.
That's loose, man.
Yeah, bro, it was crazy.
That's awesome.
I was honestly like, because I get crazy nervous all through the amateurs, and any fight that I have are crazy nerves.
Yeah.
But that fight is kind of where it all turned around for me, because I'm about to walk out, right? And it's crazy. I just watched him walk out, and I'm about to start my walk, and I'm just like, fuck, this is pretty crazy, eh?
Yeah.
And I was getting real nervous, but what calmed my nerves was I was like, well, it's just a fight.
Yeah.
Like, I love fighting. I've done this my whole life. Like, I'm a fighter.
Yeah.
Why would I be nervous? Like, and I use that same mentality for every fight. And I'm just like, well, why would I be nervous? At the end of the day, I'm just having a scrap.
Doing what I love.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's definitely out of your comfort zone, mate. Holy. Because you wouldn't have your actual team there, too. Yeah. Like, the support. Yeah.
I literally didn't have anyone from my team, like, different corner. Yeah, it was pretty crazy. Like, the first round, I thought I won. The second round was a bit closer. But on all the judges' scorecards, I was down.
Yeah,
And, you know, going out to the third round, Stitch Duran was in my corner. He was my cut man, which was crazy.
Yeah.
And he was like, he said to me, he's like, come on, set your shots up. You're in the big leagues now. He like slapped me in the face. And I was like, that's fucking wild. And then the trainer that I was there, he's like screaming at me. He's like, mate, they're going to rip you off. Like, you got to do this. And I'm like, I stood up and I'm like, far out. This is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
And I was just telling myself what Benny was telling me to do. Cause I kind of went away from it, you know, and I went to war. I was like, all right, just set my shots up with my jab. And I went out there, and within 30 seconds, I put him down with a left hook.
Prime.
And then put him down again straight after that, and then eventually got the stoppage, which is, you know, lucky that I did, because they probably would have taken it off me.
That would have been a great feeling for you, wouldn't it? Man, like, all that stuff over there, not having your team there on the big stage, the big names fighting on the card, and you do that.
Yeah.
Like, you fucking wouldn't have been able to go to sleep that night.
Man, I definitely didn't sleep. I think I was on FaceTime to my missus, like, just the whole night. I couldn't sleep,
No, that's awesome, bro.
It was crazy, man.
Do you reckon it was good for you being with the Maloney boys in their camp and stuff, going over there, experiencing that, like, I suppose, level of professionalism, even though, like, All-Star is that.
Of course, yeah.
Just being with other fighters that have that same goal, you reckon?
Yeah, definitely. Well, because they were both in fights for world titles, so that was a legit camp, and they are the ultimate professionals. Like, they didn't do anything in their camp that wasn't benefiting them for their fight.
Yeah.
So anything they ate or drank or, you know, whatever they did was all to benefit them for their fight.
Mm.
And, you know, so it was great. It was super blessed to be a part of that. Like, so early on in my career, and get to be exposed to that. And then, of course, the big stage.
I think it'll only be good for you moving forward as well, eh? Like, having that, your second pro fight, copping that bit of a rough loss, your last one. Like, you've done a couple of things now already. And what are you, 21?
Is that 21.
Bro, like, how young is that compared to things, man? So it's a great fucking platform to face some adversity early on in your career. And now it's just fucking moving forward, eh?
Yeah, definitely. Like, you know, being exposed to that, and then this early on too, like, losing, like, you know, it's definitely, it's cliche, but it's just bettered me. Like, I just learnt from it, honestly, and learnt so much. And, you know, I know how to structure my camps now. I know what I need to do on what days. Like, I know what I need to eat at what times. Like, you know, and I've just learnt so much from it.
Yeah, that's good, man.
How do you go with the weight cutting?
Yeah, I go all right. I do. Fight week, I do about 5 kilos. So I usually walk around about 61, and then I try to get to 60 by like fight week, and I make 55.3.
Fucking hell!
So by the time I get in the ring, I put on 6 kilos overnight. So
yeah,
I get
right.
in the ring at 61.
Yeah, yeah.
And after dropping down to 55, so it's a bit of an advantage. Like, at my weight, it's a big percentage. I can pull back on. So
And that's something you've dialed in over years, sort of thing.
You're just
like, routine thing now to get used to.
Yeah, well, in the amateurs, I did it the hard way, like big time. Like I would cut 5 kilos on the same day weigh in.
Oh.
The complete wrong way, just starve myself, not drink.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've come a long way since then as like as a team, like everyone at the gym. We've got a, you know, a science to it now. And
yeah, that's really good, dialed
in. Yeah.
Because it'd be like, it'd fucking knock a few years off your life, you'd think, if you did it the wrong way.
Yeah.
Years and years in a row.
Yeah, yeah. It's probably why I'm only 5'7", because I started my growth as an amateur.
Lucky there's weight class.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, so mate, in your weight class in Australia, who's the sort of blokes who are up getting it done at the moment, sort of thing? Like, I don't know, not so much in the crosshairs, but like, who's your competition at the moment?
Yeah, so on BoxRec in Australia, I'm rated number 2, and above me is Sam Goodman. So
yeah, right.
He's obviously like doing his thing at the moment. Like he's rated number 1 in the world. So that's kind of Or like anyone below, I think I might be fighting a guy that's a little bit below me. But yeah, there's not a whole lot around in the country that is like active, you know, but
yeah,
at the moment, Sam Goodman's, yeah, he's definitely number 1.
So you guys are same weight?
Yeah, we're the same weight. Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Well, mate, who knows? If he fucking keeps going and you do as well, yeah, it might 100%. Be a thing later on. You just might cross paths.
Oh, 100%. We definitely probably will. Yeah.
Yeah. Good stuff. Yeah. What's your sort of fighting style, you reckon, man? Like, do you like knocking blokes out, or are you like a point sort of pressure dude? What's your thing?
Yeah, I think obviously knocking people out is mad.
Yeah.
Like seeing that drop.
Yeah, yeah. I've got like a high ratio, but
yeah.
I think I'm a clean boxer.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I've got a little bit of power as well. So
yep.
My favorite thing to do is honestly just breaking people down. My last 2 fights, I kind of went away from it and started to believe in the power a little bit.
Yeah.
I was stopping everyone, you know, but yeah, I think. Yeah, at heart, I'm definitely just like a neat boxer, but I like to break people down and get them out of there.
Is that the pros compared to the amateur thing? Like the pros, you have the time to break someone down and like figure them out, land your shot, set shit up and get it done instead of just fucking as hard as you can for 3 rounds?
100%, man. In the amateurs, it was so stressful for me. Like I'll just gas out in a round
because
I had to get it done so quickly and I was competitive and a little bit angry too.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Like, you know, I'd get hit in the first round. I'm like, fuck, I've got to get that back like now because I only got 2 more rounds.
Yeah, yeah.
But in the pros, like I can take my time and that's why I got better so quickly, I think, because I can just slow it down and it's like if I get hit early with something silly, it's sweet. You know, I'll just break them down.
Yeah. Is there any of your favorite pro fights so far? Like that, like any sort of knockout or any fight that you love so far in your career?
I think my second one in America is obviously hard to go past.
Yeah.
And then when I won the Aussie title as a pro, that's one of my favorites as well. I went the distance with Luke Martin.
Yeah.
But I actually got COVID 12 days before that fight. Oh. So by the time I tested negative, it was 5 days away from the fight. And it drained me. I was honestly scared going into it, but I just bounced back like just in time, like got in the ring and, you know, it kind of just all came together. I boxed very conservatively because I was a bit worried about it. But, yeah, that was one of my favorite performances because I just I stuck to the task and I just done what I needed to do to win and obviously got the Aussie title as a pro, which is, you know.
Yeah, cool. That's fucking awesome, man. One thing I haven't asked before is, like, your fight camps, there's obviously always, like, little niggly shit injuries and that sort of thing. How often do you carry a niggle into a fight camp and like, I don't know, you'd have to make that call to be, like, if it's bad enough to call off or fucking keep going or hide it, not let them know about it. Is that a big thing?
Man, it's massive. Like, anyone who says they don't have any injuries, like, I don't know, you're lying or you're not training hard enough.
Yeah.
Man, I've been carrying injuries since, like, I started boxing, I swear, and they're still there just getting around. And it's just about managing them, like, the best you can. And I'm not always the best with it. I sometimes just be like, fucking, just dog it out. But, I'm getting better at, you know, recovery and stuff like that and managing the injuries. But it's definitely very important,
Like professionalism, I suppose, with training, like with recovery and that sort of thing after. Like, do you get into the ice bath sort of shit or?
Not too much. I have one, but I don't really use it too much. I'm not the biggest fan, eh?
Yeah, I could fucking do with one at the moment.
Yeah, I could definitely do with one at the moment.
Like it's half kicked in.
Mate, how do people get around you on the socials? Social media, Instagram, that sort of thing? Give you a follow?
Yeah, 100%. Like, get around me on the socials. It's just Vegas Larfield, like, on everything. So look me up and you'll find me and...
Yeah.
Hit me up.
For sure. Like with your stuff at the moment, man, are you full time boxing or have you got other work on the side as well? How's it all going for you in that way, bro?
I'm lucky enough to be able to full time train and put my everything into it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm very blessed in that sense. But, you know, that comes from the years where, you know, I was working full-time jobs and I needed to because I was a kid living out of home.
Mm.
But I give up that money because I'm like, nah, it's taking too much time away from me, you know. So I've done the hard years of, you know, struggling to be able to do it full-time. So I'm blessed now to be, you know, a little bit comfortable to be able to train full-time.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I suppose it's like anyone who's successful in anything they do, I reckon 99% of them have got a story where they've had to do either work for no money or too much work than what they should have been doing for a period of time to get to a spot where they're comfortable.
Yeah.
And I suppose like the pro boxing, like we talked to Benny about a couple of weeks ago, now when it's come out, fucking, but like he's going through the process where concreting and trying to get the sponsorships on board and stuff. Are you in the same position where it's like those sponsors help you get to the next fight to be able to get your paycheck and shit?
100%. Like the sponsors are essential. Like, we wouldn't be able to do it without them. And, you know, forever grateful for all the sponsors that we have on board. Like they don't really understand like that they're actually making dreams come true because, I'm doing what I love and I'm getting paid to do it. And, you know, we couldn't make these camps happen if it wasn't for all the sponsors.
Yeah. And is it a massive thing for you, man, being able to 100% focus on a fight and your camp and stuff like that, especially with a kid on the way too, bro? Just letting you know when that fucking happens, it takes a lot of your lot of your time as well. So at least being able to focus on your fight and then your family as well, at least it takes one extra element away for you.
100%, man. Like I'm grateful to have that sort of flexibility with my job where I'm not – I can train full-time and put my everything into it, but I can still be around and, you know, be a good dad and put lots of time in that area as well.
Yeah. No, 100%, man. So, yeah, if you can, fucking send Vegas a message. Jump on board the sponsorship packages. Both the boys are going to be on No Limit cards moving forward, plenty of exposure, and I'm all about fucking helping people having a crack get to that stage where they can, so.
How do you go with the marketing side of it, going from amateur to pros, like when they're going, oh, you need to fill seats for tickets and stuff like that? How was that as a bit of a difference for you going from amateur to pro?
Yeah, it's definitely hard, like, because I struggle with, like, marketing myself. You know, I'm getting better at it as years go, and I'll continue to get better at it. But I think early on in my career, like, when at the local shows, I'm lucky to have I know a lot of people, so, you know, they're going to come to support me anyway. But, you know, as you get higher and higher up, like, you need to put butts on seats, and, you know, we're definitely working on, you know, getting better at that. And it's a big aspect.
It's hard when you're trying to focus on fighting and then you're going, hang on, I'm pretty much going to be my own marketer as well.
Oh, it's so hard, like, you know, having to post yourself and, like, do all this stuff and, you know, whilst training full time, and you kind of just want to focus on the training, but you know the other part of it is it's a part of it, you know, like,
bro, it'd be a hard thing like selling fights as well in like press conferences and shit. It's like, dude, I just want to go out and smash this bloke, but it's like, but I got to, I don't know, throw a bit of lip around to build a bit of hype up and shit. Like 100%. You got to go, well, I want to still stick to myself and not just be this random person. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, it's kind of hard, because like I'm not about all the talking, eh? Like if you're gonna mouth off at me, you're probably gonna get one.
Yeah,
you might not make it to the fight, eh?
Yeah. Have you been in that position yet, where you've been under like the big press conferences and stuff like that, and getting a bit of lip thrown?
Yeah, not yet. Hey, which is, you know, I'm kind of excited for it.
Yeah.
Because I've had a lot of like people that are very just humble guys, or people that are flown in from a different country, so they don't speak English. You know, so I'm not gonna get on the mic and be like, you know, talking shit to someone that can't even respond.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, I haven't yet experienced that, but I'm definitely excited to.
Yeah. Well, if you end up fighting Mark Schliebs, I reckon you might fucking.
Well, if he puts in a good performance, I don't think he's going to get the job done, but if he puts in a good performance, then, you know, maybe that is a fight that will happen.
Who knows, eh? Because, that card is tonight as we're recording.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's a few weeks gone. What's your predictions, mate?
But I think Sammy's going to get it done. I hope he can get the stoppage, but I think he'll probably just win on points because he won't want to be silly.
Yeah. Yeah, he seems pretty smart, eh?
Yeah, he's very smart. He's very, he can be a little bit boring, but he's very good at what he does.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, you just need to win at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You know, you just got to get the job done.
What about the old head splitter?
I'll be back in Hartman because I like him. I haven't seen much of the other guy. I don't really know too much about him, so I think Hartman will get it done.
Man, he's the world champ of the fucking lip game.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Anyone that probably doesn't like him, it's probably just because they can't talk like him and act like he does.
Yeah, he's entertaining to have thrown a bit of chat around.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
And he fucking, at least he has a crack in there too. Like,
yeah, he does. He's a tough dude. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Mate, Liam Wilson's got a big fucking fight coming up. Like, you're pretty close to him. How do you reckon he's sort of looking, going into that? Like, I know he's pretty excited for it.
Yeah, well, I know Liam's a true professional, and I know he'll be putting in the work over there in America. And, you know, he's built for moments like this, and it's shown in his career already.
Yeah.
You know, he's built for these moments, and I think he'll get it done, honestly.
Yeah.
I really do think he'll get it done, and he definitely believes it too, so, and that's a big thing.
No, it's awesome, eh? It's pretty cool to see you boys, like three pros out of All-Star and just the potential that you got, and I suppose getting behind each other. What's it like not having him around at the gym? Because I suppose you would have had years together.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, do you just talk very often?
Yeah, like I'll check in with him. He's only been gone for, I think, 3 weeks, so I haven't spoke to him yet. But, like, usually when he does go away, like, we'll check in and whatnot, just see how each other's going. But, it's a little bit quieter without him and Benny there and whatnot. But, yeah, we're still just at the gym chipping away.
How do you find, like, I suppose him going overseas, a benefit would be sparring partners, right? Like, a lot more people to spar. More options, like new blokes. How do you guys keep up to scratch with your sparring? And fucking, do you have a few blokes that are regulars?
Yeah, so, like, here we kind of just get who we can get, you know? Like,
yeah.
There's definitely a few regulars that you'll spar most of the time. And, yeah, you kind of just got to, keep messaging, seeing if you can get rounds with people. And it's definitely a lot better over there because, like, when you're at Liam's level anyway, because you need to lock in, you need to be out of your surroundings and you need to lock in, and then you've got, you know, more options for sparring partners over there or better even, like.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, but at this level, you know, we can kind of get it done at home for now.
Yeah, yeah. Nah, for sure, bro. Yeah. What do you reckon your end goal is for boxing, mate?
Look, I want to be undisputed world champ. That's always been my goal.
Yeah.
I want all the belts, and I want to make a lot of money for my family and provide like a life that I never got as a kid.
Yeah.
For my future kids.
That,
you know, that's the ultimate goal.
So, yeah. Cool, bro. Do you reckon bringing a kid into the world soon, mate? Very high chance already here by the time this comes out. But do you reckon that adds another level of motivation for you?
Like
to keep building what you've already sort of got the platform for now.
Yeah, man. Like since I found out, I've just been chipping away, and it's added pressure, but it's added motivation too.
Mm.
And you know, I think in my last fight, it was maybe a little bit too much. I put too much pressure on myself, and I was like, I've got a son coming, like, because I just found out.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, I've got a son coming. I gotta win big. Like, you know, I've gotta knock this dude out so I can start getting big money. You know, for my son.
Yeah.
But now that it's like a little bit more normal and all that stuff is settled, it's just. I'm just driven, man. Like, now that I know I'm bringing a boy into the world, like, I'm just driven.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty impressive too, mate, the fact that you're 21. Like, I know footy and boxing are two totally different things, but I remember even coming into the senior footy, right, as a young fella, and you'd be the same size.
Yeah.
But there's that man strength and physicality and just mental toughness. It's pretty impressive that you're 21 and potentially fighting fucking someone who could be 35, 40, that's gone through a lot of shit and that. How have you handled that? Like, is there any situation where you've fought someone who's fucking like 30-something and gone up against it? Because I think it's pretty impressive, that factor.
Yeah, I think when I was in America and I was only 18, I think I definitely noticed it there because in my first pro fight, I didn't really get hit.
Yeah.
So in that one, I was like, this dude's 27, like, he's a construction worker, a Mexican, like, tough.
Yeah.
Like, so when I was getting hit, I was like, yeah, this is the real deal. I actually got hit. I got hit in the first round, and I kind of forget a lot of the fight. And when I sort of came to, it was when I put him down the first time and I ran back to the corner. And I was like, holy fuck, like, what is it? Like, I was like, fuck, I'm
going to fight. So it's just autopilot.
Yeah, massive autopilot, yeah.
Yeah, like, wow.
So that... big, like, difference in power. But I think, you know, I'm starting to now develop some man strength. And, you know, I'm not fully developed, obviously. But, I think I'm starting to get it now. But, yeah, there is definitely a big jump, yeah.
Yeah. But, mate, that's the best part about it, isn't it? Like, you're 21.
Yeah.
You're in a good position.
You've fucking 100%. Got so many years to go. Yeah. And, like we said before, if you're not the old Mayweather effect. Copping a couple of losses along the way, man, is only going to make you fucking bigger and stronger. Yeah. And yeah, can't wait to see what you do, bro, for the rest of the career and that. And like we said, if you're keen to get involved and help Vegas along the way, go and give him a follow on the socials, send him a message, and yeah, get involved.
Yeah. Beautiful. Thanks, boys.
Fucking oath. Mate, we might get to a few guest questions, if that's sweet.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Righto, first one, brother. Ever been arrested?
Look, me and a few of the boys from where I'm from, we actually got falsely arrested one night.
True.
So it was like, it was late at night, and we were hanging out at a park. And there was like a lady like that was sort of, it was like at the back of houses, and she's like yelling stuff out at us, and like we couldn't really hear her. It was a distance away. She obviously just wanted us to be away from the park that was near her house.
Yeah.
So, you know, we sat around for like maybe half an hour, and then we just started leaving, and we're like, oh, we don't want her to get upset and call the cops, whatnot. So as we're leaving the park, a cop like drives past on the road, like the main road, with its sirens on.
Yeah.
And we're like, fuck off, what the hell? It's seen us, stopped, and we're like, fuck this. They all started running, so I'm like, fuck, I'm running with them.
We're
running up this hill, and we get over it, and there's like three more cop cars there.
Oh.
And they just like skid out, like block us off, and I'm like,
I didn't do anything.
I'm like, what the fuck? So they all start running to like go jump fences, and I'm like right behind them, and a cop yells out, don't run, I'll let the dogs out. And I'm like, that was us. We all stopped like straight away, like, yeah, no, that's me. Then they start coming around, and like I'm the last one on the line, and he's just slamming all the boys. They're all just getting slammed, put in cuffs, and I'm like, nah, this ain't right. I start getting down, ready to go, but he just jammed me to the ground anyway. We're like laying there for about 5 minutes, and then one of the cops like is talking to one of the other guys, and he's like, yeah, I think we've got the wrong boys. And then so then they let us out. So what had actually happened was someone, like a group of boys in our area, had stolen a car, crashed it, and they're out on foot running.
Oh.
So they seen us on foot, and then we started running. So they're like, it's them. But then they realized that there was like one too many of us to fit the description. And bro, when they let us go, there was not even an apology. It was just like, oh, yeah, wrong
kick
one.
Kick up the ass.
Yeah, literally. And I'm just like, fuck, that was crazy. Like, I was petrified.
Mate, you would have shit yourself.
Like, it was crazy.
Fucking hell. Crazy. Where was that?
That's Zilme.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, Zilme. So North Brizzy.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, man, it was wild.
Especially because, like, you just start running because this fucking cop's pulled up. And then you'd be thinking, fuck, I shouldn't have run.
Yeah, literally.
What have these boys done?
we were laying there for like 5 minutes, like cuffs on. And I'm just like, so what do we do?
Yeah.
They're just ignoring us blatantly. They're just fully ignoring us. And we're all just like, what the fuck? We didn't do anything.
Oh,
so
man.
We're just wigging out. And I'm like, man, that was crazy.
Yeah, that is.
That was crazy.
That's fucking loose, man. Oi, before we get to another question to do with boxing, like any boxers that you've looked up to growing up and that sort of thing, man, anyone that you wanted to be like or admired?
Yeah. So when I was a kid, like the first boxer that I knew of was Costa Zoo.
Yeah.
He was like before my time, obviously. So the only things I would watch of him was like his highlights and whatnot.
Yeah.
But other than that, like the Floyd Mayweathers. I loved Roy Jones. Like when I was a kid, I just remember watching Roy Jones highlights like on repeat. Like when I was real young. So yeah, all those types of guys definitely looked up to. But I think Costa's been my favorite since I was a kid.
Yeah, Brian. Yeah. Another question I fucking forget to ask is, what about the walkout song, bro? How do you come up with that, and what pumps you up, or do you change it?
Yeah.
Is it sticking to the one?
It's kind of hard. Hey, like my missus kind of, she picks, yeah, she's picked all
oh,
of
true.
Mine. Yeah, she's picked all of mine. So I kind of, I depend on her and others for help. Like, you know, it doesn't bother me too much. Just as long as I like it.
Yeah.
And you know, it's something good for the crowd, then I'm happy to walk out to it. But I usually depend on help.
I remember watching a Nikita Zoo card and they fucked up the song.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that rattle you a bit?
Oh, that would definitely
it's
rattle
like,
you.
It's like, cunt, one job.
Yeah.
I just wanted to walk out.
It's actually a fear of mine, like that they get the song wrong.
Yeah.
Like I'm about to walk out and they start playing something.
Just
like,
rattles you.
Yeah, fuck. It definitely would rattle me, eh?
Mate, what was your first job?
I was a plastering apprentice.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So I've done that for about 9 months, and it was really, really good pay. Like, I was a first-year apprentice making, like, $1,000 a week.
Yeah.
Because on, like, EBA sites and that. So I was looked after. But, yeah, and I ended up – it was great, too, because I was 16, living out of home.
Yeah.
But I ended up giving it up after 9 months because I was like, it's just too much. Like, I can't put enough effort in at training, so I just ended up giving it up.
Yeah. What was that after you give that up? Was it a pretty hard process then going, right, I'm giving it up, probably dropping a lot of money, but focusing on that goal that I want to achieve?
It definitely was. It was hard and I struggled a bit. And like I had to depend on like, you know, the people that are around me, which I'm grateful for. But yeah, I just knew like the money's going to come.
Yeah.
And I just stuck to it. And it was probably like 6 months later, I got my first sponsor, like 300 a week and, you know, and then that to me that was life changing. I was like, fuck, I've made it.
Yeah.
I'm getting paid to train. There's no way.
Is that, do you reckon it's motivation now going through that period of your life where now you can train full time? Is that like now you're just like, well, I'm fucking hooking in now?
Yeah, 100%. I'm locked in. Like I've had to overcome so much to get to where I am, and you know, I'm just driven every day to just keep doing what I'm doing, and you know, all my goals are just gonna, you know, start falling into place.
Yeah, awesome, brother. That's prime. You can invite three people to dinner, dead or alive. Who are they and why?
Honestly, I was thinking about this one, and I don't really have a massive desire to invite anyone to dinner. So I'd probably say my missus, my dog, and my son.
Yeah, good shit, bro.
That's me, I reckon. Yeah,
yeah, fucking nice. Yeah. Happy days, brother. What's the best piece of advice that you've been given, mate?
Probably when I was an amateur by my coach, and he was just like, just because I lost a lot of fights that I maybe should have won in the amateurs and they were a bit close, and he'd always just say to me, just stick at it. Just keep doing what you're doing. You'll be there when it counts. And, you know, as a kid, I was like, oh, but I want to be there now, you know?
Yeah.
But now as an adult and, you know, as a professional, like, it makes so much sense to me. And it's right, you know, I just needed to keep working hard, keep chipping away, and, you know, I'll be there when it counts.
Results will follow.
That's right. Exactly right, yeah.
Yeah, awesome, man. What's on top of your bucket list, bro?
I think just after my boxing career, just travel with my family.
Yeah.
Just travel the world and, you know, kind of live a holiday lifestyle. Like once I've, you know, made it and I can enjoy the fruits of my labor, then. Yeah,
well, mate, when you're headlining in Vegas.
Yeah.
You can, Vegas.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you win that cunt and then you can go on a little fucking 100%, trip around.
Yeah, that's the plan, man.
Is that the end goal? Like a beef fighting in overseas, America, all that sort of thing down the track?
Yeah. Like I want to be in super fights, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to be traveling and fighting over there and, you know, putting Australia on the map and put my name on the map too.
Yeah, for sure. Do you reckon it's starting to happen more now where the big names are fighting the big names? Is that starting to happen the last couple of years, you think?
The fans are demanding it.
Yeah.
So it's going to come back to that, I think, and I hope anyway.
Fucking oath, man.
Yeah, because, you know, the people is demanding it and, you know, no one's going to get the respect that they want or deserve if they're not fighting, you know, the best.
Especially if you've got other combat sports like UFC and fucking the best, literally fight the best. Like if you want to be competitive and stuff, and obviously boxing's fucking huge too, but I think that excitement factor and hype around it, when you got those names in their prime fighting, you know, like even Mayweather, Pacquiao, like that should have happened years before, you know, that sort of shit, bro.
Yeah, and you know, the whole like keeping your own, that's going to go as well.
Mm.
Because, you know, when the best does fight the best,
it's who's
better on the night.
Yeah,
it doesn't mean, you know, they might have a rematch and the other guy might win.
Yeah, like,
you know, it's who's better on the night.
Mm.
So, you know, the aspect of things, it's going to go eventually. The fans are demanding it, so.
Yeah. No, I think it's in an awesome spot, bro.
Yeah, definitely.
I think just boxing in Australia, like I'm very new as a whole to boxing, but I'm loving it lately. Mm. I'm loving to see what's happening with Aussie boxing, seeing how many Aussies are hooking in, bro.
Yeah,
I'm fucking loving it. Yeah. It's awesome. So, can't wish you all the best moving forward, bro, and can't wait to
see
all the fights.
Up,
and
thanks for having us.
And yeah, we'll have to get you back later on.
Yeah, 100%.
All the best with the family, mate.
Appreciate it.
Fucking oath.
Call them what you want, knee knockers, golden nuggets, thigh slappers, but our friends at Manscaped refer to them as the boys. Not every man has children, but every man is responsible for their two boys below the waist. When your little guys have more hair than they need, trust Manscaped for all your grooming dreams. Boys need love too, so join the 10 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by going to manscaped.com and using the code ALPHABLOKES for 20% off plus free shipping. You heard it here first. The boys are back in town.
Every man knows how scary it can get when you're going for the close shave below the waist. That's why I trust Manscaped for all my sensitive areas. Introducing the Lawnmower family, including the Lawnmower Pro 3.0 Plus and the 4.0 Pro and the 5.0 Ultra.
Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code ALPHABLOKES at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code ALPHABLOKES at manscaped.com. For the best your boys have ever looked, Trust Manscaped.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.